While I'm on the subject of just venting a little bit, let me say this about the New York Mets of Major League Baseball. They're trash. Somebody's got to say it, so I'm going to say it. Losers of 12 straight, 9 of the 12 games, you score 2 runs or less. Rookie Nolan McLean, am I pronouncing his name right? McLean, I'm sorry. Brother goes out there, pitches a gem, can't get any help from the bullpen. The New York Mets have been an atrocity, the second largest payroll in sports. And you have to remember, from June 13th through the end of last season, the Mets had the fifth worst record in the majors at 38-55. We keep forgetting that. Missed the playoffs in one of the biggest collapses you'll ever see. They're now on a 12-game losing streak early in this season, and they've got the worst record in the majors. This is the second highest payroll in baseball. The second highest payroll in baseball with the absolute worst record. Can you believe that? I don't get it. The New York Mets this year, out of 30 teams in Major League Baseball, they ranked dead last 30th in runs scored. They ranked dead last in on-base percentage at .285. They ranked dead last in on-base plus slugging percentage, OPS, at .617. Dead last. Second highest payroll. $375 million was the Dodgers. Mets are right behind them. I know Juan Soto's been out since April 3rd with his calf strain. But all-star Francisco Lindor, who had a hit last night, is still batting .209 with just 2 home runs and 4 RBIs in 23 games. And this is a dude that finished in the top 10 last year. What the hell were y'all doing in the offseason to work on your game? Chilling out in the Dominican Republic? Or Venezuela, wherever the hell y'all are? Is that what you were doing, just chilling? Come on, style to my Latino brothers and sisters. You know, I mean no harm. But you got to produce. You got to show up. You can't play like hot garbage. This is embarrassing. I mean, this is embarrassing on another level. I think the manager, I mean, you got Bo Bichette, who they brought over from Toronto, looked good last year. He signed a 3-year, $126 million deal. He's only hitting .219. And by the way, he has more strikeouts than hits. 23 strikeouts to 21 hits this season. Doesn't look comfortable at all playing third base. So you're the Mets, you revamped your infield. That hasn't worked. Okay? I'm just looking at it right now. You got 2 relievers. The Mets signed former Yankees reliever Devin Williams and Luke Weaver in free agency. They're supposed to be high-leverage arms in their bullpen. Both have ERAs over 6. Williams is at 9.95 ERA. Do you have any idea how embarrassing that is? I mean, damn. Everything is bad. Pete Alonso's gone. Jeff McNeil is gone. Brandon Nemo's gone. Starling Marte is gone. That's David Stearns. That's your general manager. That's the man running baseball operations. He should go too. But definitely the manager, Mendoza, has to go. And the reason why he has to go is because he doesn't have the pulse of the team. They ain't listening to him. He's not affecting them. And if you don't have a voice, especially in this age of data analytics and all of this stuff taking over, the one thing that you have as an ability, as a manager, that nobody can teach is your ability to galvanize your players and your troops. Did you see Dave Roberts the other day with the Dodgers against Colorado? An instinct, a sixth sense told him. I believe it was Muncy and Rojas that he had flipped in the batting lineup from 7 to 6 and vice versa. And both of them combined to smack 3 home runs and like 4 RBIs. You know, it's stuff like that that analytics can't teach you. It's a sixth sense. It's not that analytics doesn't matter, but it's those other things that managers do that you can't teach. You either have it or you don't. Carlos Mendoza does not have it. He ain't Fernando Mendoza. Remember my boy, Gus Johnson, making a call. Mendoza in trouble. It's out. Touchdown. Wow. Touchdown pass from Indiana against Penn State to Omar Cooper. Omar Cooper, unbelievable. Give him the Heisman Trophy now. Remember that call? Best call of the year. He ain't that Mendoza. He ain't the Mendoza that went undefeated at 16-0, that won the Heisman Trophy, and then beat Miami for the national championship after blowing out Oregon in a college football playoff semifinal, after shellacking the Alabama Crimson Tide 38-3. He ain't that Mendoza. He's this Mendoza. Carlos Mendoza is not getting the job done. Some people ain't made to be leaders of men. No matter how much they know about a sport or the position that they hold, some people ain't meant to be leaders of men. That's Carlos Mendoza. He's not doing the job. 2 years ago, they went to the postseason. Last year, they regressed and missed the postseason. This year, they just flat out stinking up the joint. They smell so bad, you think the stench from the swamp in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and those rivers, driving into New York on the New Jersey Turnpike, you think that smells bad. I can't even tell you how stink Queens, New York smells because of the New York Mets. They are horrible. They ain't doing nothing right. And somebody got to go. It's just that simple. It got to happen. It's got to happen. You owe it to New York Met fans everywhere for him to be gone, for David Stearns to go someplace too. You ain't paid for this. They ain't lowered them season ticket prices. Now, I happen to know former Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, who's a friend and consultant to Mets management. He needs to talk to them quick, fast, and in a hurry. They suck. You got to get somebody out there that's going to hold people accountable. That's what you got to do. You gotta, you know why the Lakers don't really stink? That somehow, some way, somehow, even, you know, unless injuries, they're bereft with injuries and all of that other stuff. You know why they're always relevant? Let me tell you a little secret that I think, I don't know this definitively, but I think the Lakers do this because I know I would. See, Southern California is beautiful. You know what I would do to some players? I would make sure that when we travel to other cities, I would take them around. Look at Utah. Hell, look at Sacramento compared to L.A. Or the filth that exists in San Francisco. Thank God they got Steph Curry. Because it's not a great city. The mayor, I think, is going to clean stuff up. I like him, but it's not a good city right now. You know what I'm saying? Or some of these other places. What you do is you drive them around and you show them it. You want to be there? You want to be there? Or you want to be here in Tinseltown? And you make sure you drive them around, too. You understand what I'm saying? You don't drive them where the homeless is hanging out by the arena. No. You drive them up on Mulholland Drive. You drive them past Beverly Park. You drive them out to Malibu, where Nobu is and the little house in Malibu is. You drive them to places like that. You make sure they feel that ocean air hitting off of the Pacific Ocean. You make sure you do stuff like that. You take them to a sunset tower. You take them to the Polo Lounge. You take them to a spot like Maestro's in Beverly Hills or the Peninsula or someplace like that. You do stuff. Take them to the bungalow. You take them to spots like that, okay? And you show them. You sure you want to stay? Then I need to see you play better. That's kind of blackmail I'd use. I'd get that from somebody like George Steinbrenner. God rest his soul. I'm blackmailing your ass. That's what, excuse me, I'm cursing a little bit, but not too much. I'm just telling you that's what I would do. I learned that line from that dude that was running the CIA or whatever it was in Mission Impossible, the number one, when he was going after Ethan Hunt, played by Tom Cruise. He said, this is not complicated. You find this soft spot and you squeeze. That's what you do. And that's what people need to do. Because this stuff that we're seeing, nah, it's unacceptable. The Mets are hot garbage. The only thing they're attracting is raccoons and skunks. They stink. And I'm a Yankee fan. And I'm telling you, the other team in New York, the fans deserve better. They are hot garbage. They're a mess. And Doggy is right. He's on First Take this morning. He's coming up on the top of the hour. This is his channel, after all. Okay? But he was absolutely right with what he was talking about. It's more on Stearns than it is on Carlos Mendoza. That's true. But I need a manager that knows how to touch the pulse of a player to get something out of them. You can't be this bad for this long. Last place. last with a payroll over $300 million? A payroll over $300 million? And you stinking like this? That's horrible. Horrible. Somebody had to say it. So I'm going to say it. That's another reason I'm pissed off today. The Knicks started me off. The Mets ain't helping. And with the New York Giants, if they mess up the draft, they're going to piss me off too. You got the 5th and the 10th pick overall. Do something with it, right? Something. That's all I got to say right now. 888-MAD-DOG-688-623-3646. And don't hide the calls from anybody, Sean. It ain't just the sports talk. If they want to call me about Vrabel and Rossini, they can call me about that too. I brought anything I bring up, the callers can call me about. Are we clear, Sean? Just want to make sure. 888-MAD-DOG-688-623-3646. You're live with Stephen A. Go ahead, John in Connecticut. You're live. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Stephen A? Just real quick, I've been listening to you since early 1990s. Love the journey and how you've been able to sustain your success. So that's one. Real quick on the Knicks, man. I think that Perk hit the head on the nail. Brunson needs to see that Cat needs to get the ball more. It just felt like...
Well, wait a minute. It's not just Brunson. It's also Mike Brown, too. See, here's the tricky part about it before I let you continue, John. Here's the tricky part.
All right.
The tricky part is that the Knicks have actually been more successful this year during the regular season when Karl Anthony Towns has shot the ball less.
Right, right.
So, again, he's right, but I want to point that out because that's a fact that we can't ignore.
Well, and it's twofold, right? Because I was going to even mention that also because Brunson, for one, it made me feel like he was letting himself be baited into dominating the ball. But also I was going to say about Mike Brown, you're absolutely right, because what I watched, Stephen A., is that they were up by 11, 12 points, and then he watched them walk down the lead twice. I mean, if it happens once, it's okay. But they got back up again, but 12 or 13, and then he watched them walk down the lead again. So that's on Mike Brown. The other thing I was going to say is I don't think things would have been different under Tibbs, only because if you remember last year, they were up by like 17 on Indiana, and Tibbs let them walk down the lead, and then eventually they lost in overtime. So I think that's –
last year in the playoffs too. So in other words, you're making a very good point there because the same thing did happen to Tibbs last year in game one of the playoffs. You're absolutely right about that. That's fair.
And just as a fellow Knicks fan, I'm telling you, if they don't get out of this round – I don't think they're going to make it to the finals, period. I like to have that faith, you know, but you're not.
But if they don't get out, of this round, John, people got to go. People got to go, Sean.
Yeah, well, that's what
people got to go. This can't be tolerated, Sean. It cannot be tolerated.
Hey man, what do you think about Steve Kerr? He's not signing the renewal.
He would be the guy that could get him over the hump. John, goodbye. Have a nice day. See, you lost me there when you brought up Steve Kerr. Why the hell would Steve Kerr leave Steph Curry at any stage to come join the Knicks? See, right there, you lost me. Right there, everything that you said, all your credibility went out the damn window. That's emotions relegated and dissipating to stupidity. Steve Kerr ain't leaving no damn Steph Curry to coach the New York Knicks. It ain't happening. He ain't even Joe Lacob to coach the New York Knicks. Remember, the New York Knicks wanted him before Joe Lacob came and got him. Keep forgetting that. Let's go to Tristan. In Toronto, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me.
Stephen A., what's up?
I'm all right. Floor is yours. What's up?
Okay. I got a quick aside, and then I got two quick football.
I love how y'all tell me you got a quick aside, and then you got two, as if I'm going to let you get to all of that. But go ahead. Try.
All right. Well, I'm a big believer in speaking in existence. And if you remember, I think it was last week or the week before, I called you about Martin Lawrence, told you I went to his show. You said you never went. And then, look, like a week and a half later, you get to meet him and all that. So
I did. Michael premiere, which I'm advising everybody to go see. I saw it. The movie was sensational. Antoine Fuqua did his thing. My brother Antoine Fuqua did his thing. Oh, it was spectacular. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I can only hope that, you know, that works out for me and I get to meet you one day because, you know, you're one of my big sports media heroes, if you will. Okay, so two quick points. So one, just want to put people on to Keem Messidor. He's from Canada, specifically Ontario.
Who the hell is he? Who the hell is he?
He's a defensive end from Miami. Coached by Jason Taylor.
Oh, yeah, Mesidor. Oh, you're talking about Mesidor. Listen, I met him already. I was at the national championship game. He could ball.
Him and Bane could ball.
I like him.
Yeah, yeah. So we're bigging him up in Canada because he's from Canada. So tomorrow will be special for us because we haven't had a Canadian goal in like the 80s or 70s. And obviously he has the most attention in this social media era.
Okay, get to your other subjects. Yeah. Don't call with your man crush with that stuff. Don't do that. It's embarrassing. Hurry up. Go ahead.
Last point. What do you think about these guys skipping the NFL draft? Like specifically Mendoza, right? Like the NFL draft is a TV product. And I think it hurts the product.
Yeah, here's the problem. I don't like guys skipping. That's a great question on your part. I give you credit where credit is due, Tristan. Thank you for the call. I don't have a problem. I don't like guys missing the NFL draft, but I equally don't like dudes that's sitting there and having to sit there with the cameras rolling in their face when their stock drops. That's bothersome. I don't think they should have to be subjected to that kind of embarrassment. Think Warren Sapp dropping in the draft because of the rumors that came out that he was a weed smoker and stuff like that. All right? And the Eagles picked Mamalu, if I remember correctly. Right? And I'm like, he wasn't no damn Warren Sapp. They could have had Warren Sapp, but he ended up for him. Think about Aaron Rodgers, who goes down as one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen in NFL history, and how long he had to sit there because his stock dropped and so many teams had passed on him until he went like 24th or whatever it was. I don't like that, so I don't blame players. Like, for me, it's happening in reverse this year. Ty Simpson is scheduled to be at the draft, according to numerous reports, and it said that he might fall to the second round, maybe. He might not be picked in the first round. But we all know Mendoza's going to be picked high, and I think somebody that's going to be picked that high, who you know is going to be, let's say, a top 10 pick or so, I think they should have to be in attendance. I really, really do. But I don't think anybody that's projected as potentially falling out of the first round. I think anybody that's suspect and capable of falling out of the first round, I think should not have to be in attendance. So that's going to call upon the NFL, if you want to protect the sanctity of the draft, to communicate with the teams and get some kind and find a way to get some kind of promise that there's a certain list of players, let's say anywhere from 15 to 20, that is definitely going to be in the first round. I think those people should have to be in attendance for the draft, but no one else.
So is that something that the players union would have to sign off on, though?
Because I don't know. I didn't ask, but I appreciate the call.
It's tough.
I appreciate it. Hey, Tristan, I'm no longer interested in this subject. I answered your question. Enjoy Canada. Feel free to call back anytime. I'm not interested in that subject anymore. I'm not going to spend time on a radio show like this talking about that. Okay, we're just not going to do it. Not on my watch. I answered your question. All right, that's about it. Let's go to Ali in Vegas. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Ali?
Stephen A., thanks for taking my call, brother.
Go ahead, man.
I'm peaceful. Hey, Stephen A., I think it's time we revisit this GOAT conversation. I'll tell you why. When I think of the greatest basketball player of all time, I think about the person across the board. LeBron James is a basketball player. He's not a politician. He's not a lawyer. So when we say greatest basketball player, look, Michael Jordan, I know, won 6 in a row. We keep changing the metrics. Now, he's not the only one to go undefeated. Casey Jones won 8 in a row. Havlicek, 7 or 8 in a row.
Stop right there. Ali, how old are you?
I'm 67 years old.
Okay, you're 67 years old. You just brought up Casey Jones, and you brought up Havlicek. Am I correct?
Yes.
At any time, has either of those players ever been mentioned in the conversation as being the greatest players ever?
No.
Stop. You see, when you make an argument like that and you say, let's revisit the conversation, right, of the GOAT, and you bring up, obviously, LeBron and compared to my MJ, Michael Jordan, right? You don't make the argument that the goalpost is being moved because, first of all, I never said Michael Jordan won 6 straight. He won 2 three-peats back-to-back. Then he won the first three-peat, retired, came back with 17 games left, a season and a half later, and then ultimately lost to Orlando in the playoffs, and then came back and won three-peat again after he had his legs under him and got Dennis Rodman there with him and Pippen and the crew. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is that nobody ever brought up Casey Jones. Nobody ever brought up Havlicek when you're talking about the greatest who have ever lived. So the fact that you brought up those names, your argument is already irrelevant to me. Already irrelevant to me. Because they have nothing to do with it at all. And bringing up how many championships they won, you know that's not what we're talking about only when we're talking about Michael Jordan against LeBron James. You know that. So you need to work on your argument. I'll give you one more chance and make it quick.
The reason I said it is because some people say he was undefeated in the finals, okay?
That's not the point. That's not the only thing they said. That's not the only thing they said. They didn't sit up there and say Michael Jordan was undefeated in the finals. That's what makes him the GOAT. You know that. They did not say that as the reason him being the GOAT. So why do you try to bring that up? Nobody said that. There is not a single person. I don't give a damn if you're 10, 20, 50, 70, 80, or 67 like yourself. I have not heard one human being say Michael Jordan is the GOAT because he went 6-0 in the NBA Finals. They mention it, but they don't say that's the reason. Because if that's the case, we got to bring up Robert Horry, who was a reserve that won 7 titles. Nobody did that. Nobody. You're doing it. And I gave you your chance, and you lost it. So now you're going to have to wait to call back another day. Try better next time. Better make your arguments good. I don't play. Stephen A. in the house. I ain't got time for all of that. I ain't got time for all of that. My soap opera's getting ready to come on. I'm getting ready to eat lunch. I'm chilling. I'm in a very good mood, even though I was in a very bad mood because of my damn Knicks and these sorry-ass Mets, until you callers called up and made my day feel better. But then you call up with this bogus-ass call, along with this dude that wants to make a show out of whether or not, you understand, they're going to make people show up for the draft. I don't know what's wrong with some of y'all in the daytime, man. I mean, some of y'all are drinking a little bit too early in the day. I'm just guessing, but I think it's an educated guess. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live. Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Still going to get back to your calls, though, because I love you, Allie. You notice I always let you on when you call because I got love for you. That's a weak-ass argument. Try again some other time. Matter of fact, don't even try, because there is absolutely positively nothing that you can do to convince me that there is a GOAT in basketball greater than Michael Jordan. It ain't freaking happening. The only argument that comes close is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who has arguably the greatest basketball resume that has ever lived. Bill Russell won 11 titles in 13 years. That's true. And he won it as a player coach. And he won it in the city of Boston with so much segregational issues and the racism and all of this other stuff that was going on. And he worked through all of that. And I don't even give that to him. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won at Powell Memorial as a high school player, won at UCLA as a collegiate player, came to the NBA, won 6 titles, won 6 league MVPs, played alongside Magic Johnson, retired as the all-time leading scorer with the only unstoppable move in the history of the National Basketball Association, which was the skyhook. And I still wouldn't give it to him. Oh, by the way, he was a 19-time All-Star. And I wouldn't give it to him. And he's the best argument that you could make against Michael Jordan because his resume says so. And I'm still not giving to him. You know why? Because got 2 eyes. I can see. I went to the ophthalmologist all of this time, and I've had 20/20 vision all my life with the exception of a year or two ago when I needed some reading glasses. That's about damn it. Anything else? There's nothing you can tell me about the GOAT conversation in the sport of basketball. There is only one, and his name is Michael Jordan. And anybody that has watched this league, that has played in the NBA, that is going against Michael Jordan would tell you what the hell they saw and what the hell they experienced. You respect and revere LeBron James. You feel both of those things, plus fear when it came to Michael Jeffrey Jordan. There is nothing to discuss, and I'm not going to allow it on this show. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio in the house right here with your boy Stephen A. I'm here for it. Keep coming with it. More of your calls in a minute. I'm not going anywhere.